Talk about bars, clubs. Talk about clubs, spades. Talk about spade, shape. Talk about shade, beach. Talk about beach, candy. I'm a Napa man, like Dammy. You're a one punchline, 1 year plan. A 10 year brand, bring through the whole fam. British jet, in a British jet, overdressed with a rock and roll influence. Make a meal with every button that I press. Call it button up stress, with your finger to the press. British jet, in a British jet, overdressed with a rock and roll influence. Make a meal with every button that I press. Call it button up stress, middle finger to the press. Not about that hype, not about all that hype. Not about that hype, not about that. Not about that hype, not about all that hype. Not about that hype. Free like Bob Marley. Bob Marley. I feel free like Bob Marley.
Late night, I'm a number three.
On every candle, I'm like, please, please tell me why you always miss me.
Bet you know now, cause you can't go with the bunch for me both times. Part town, that's automatic, hold down.
What's that?
Ask no questions, just hold it down. Why you hating on the progress? I'm a humble nigga, I don't even pop shit. I just drive the Maybach through the projects. It's still crazy, I ain't even drive shit.
Hate from a distance, please don't try me. Cause we'll turn it up on anybody. I see why they don't like me. Yelling out 400, they gon' do heavy. I'm with the posse back at it, nigga. That mean come on, I go on platinum, nigga. That mean I got a kingdom with my mattress, nigga. Oh, I got the beady back breaking, nigga.
Please, please tell me why you always leave.
Why you what?
Please tell me why you always leave. Please, please tell me why you always leave.
Why you what?
Please tell me why you always leave. Please, please tell me why you always leave.
Why you what?
Please tell me why you always leave.
As new YG featuring Drake, Why You Always Hating. It ain't no hating around here in Hip Hop Nation. You know it's all love. And that's why my man YG left a bunch of signed CDs. I'm going to figure out how to raffle these off and how to get them to y'all. Definitely keep it right here with the tour guide. We're going to keep rocking out, hitting you with these straight hip hop hits, period, baby. That's law.
Don't fuck no bitch that fucking with your dog. They're law. If you come up, don't forget about your dog. They're law. I'm a street nigga, so it's fuck the law. If you broke nigga, that should be against the law. Fuck no bitch that fucking with your dog.
Wait, was Steep really canceled today? That can't.
I'm a street nigga, so it's fuck the law. If you broke nigga, that should be against.
That might be the right move, but I. I saw the Criterion stuff. That's not too surprising, I guess. I mean, you'll get to it if you're listening to the podcast in the near future, but Dan made Steep sound real fucking bad.
Somebody.
EA seems like it's going to be your home for sports and Star Wars and very little else for the foreseeable future. Well, I mean, you know, and BioWare, I guess. I guess this may be a little narrow, but you get my point. I think you hear a lot more tossed off references to video games in hip hop now. In, you know, like, it happened here and there, but now it's just like it doesn't seem like a thing. He's just gonna fucking talk about holding the block down like it's Tetris. And it's like, okay, yeah, no, I get, yep, that works.
Genesis is called Unfuckwittable, and before that was Wale featuring Phil Ade. Did I say that right? All right, Phil Ade. Remember that record called Reminisce? Yo, I'm gonna take a couple more calls. Got some guests coming through in a minute. Got Keith Murray coming up, Gab Gotcha, Buckshot, Rock from Helter Skelter. Got a great show for you guys, man. I'm gonna take a couple calls, but that's only if you want to talk about this new record. You're on the air. What's up? Hello?
Yo, yo, what up, Toka?
What's going on?
Got my show from Boston, man. I haven't called in a while. Still the computer's tuned in every Tuesday. I just wanted to say you're killing it tonight as always, man. That Rock Monty joint with Saya.
Very cool. Thanks for calling, man. Thanks for calling. Joe from Boston. You're on the air. What's going on? Hello? Shade 45, what's up? Hello, next caller. You're on the air, what's going on? Hello? Don't forget, DJ Scratch tonight at Cielo, Toca Tuesdays, the after party. Yo, you're on the air, caller, what's up?
Hey, I
want to
hear the Miami for the weekend.
I want to hear your shit is. Yo, I'm loud.
Don't believe that loser's tale. In music class, only time he used the scale. Playing arpeggios, probably sold to low Reggie, but no blow. Yo, that scene is overcrowded. Plus, I always was a scammer, make no bones about it. Ready, so smart. Could buy a pack of shorts, still bump bogeys for sport. Ain't gotta go to Long Island for a free port. Just look at Sun's regression. Actually using dice money to fund a session. The name's Y-O-D, not Lil Uzi Vert. Uzi's coming to me ass naked in a loosened shirt. We dedicated and planetite. Not talking about the ball player, but I got my branding right. Even though the fans got no sight, I'm still visible, my droolies post light. Get busy all night, need y'all to play 42 like a black Israelite.
And on the 30th, it'll be in Cleveland, Ohio. What up, Cleveland? Y'all getting ready for that big parade tomorrow morning, right? Listen, I want to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the show in a city near you. Here's what you got to do. Go to SiriusXM.com/I Love the 90s. No purchase is necessary, but we want to get you in there to see Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper, and so many of your favorites from the 90s. More happy hour up next, y'all.
I just want you
I don't think I would want to go see Vanilla Ice live ever. Like, I can't think of a time in my life where I would have been like, yeah. There would have been times where I've been like, oh, I might be curious in seeing how fucking terrible that is. But that was like when he was with a live band. That would be when I would be like, oh yeah, let's fucking go see this shit.
Thank you. acuity levels are very low.
I need a Fem7 lab report and some 90s on 9 stat.
Fortunately, horses instead of bulls don't want to step on you on purpose. So they're going to try to avoid you. But you do get kicked every once in a while.
And instructions on how to play defender?
It's better not to let on to the director that you've been hurt, right? I mean, because if you get, if it becomes known that you're accident prone, I mean, if the perception comes about that you're accident prone or whatever, maybe you didn't prepare enough for it. It's just, you look better. You come out looking better and are more hireable next time around if you do the stunt cleanly and walk away from it with no injury.
Well, that's right. You go home and...
You nurse your wounds at home. You don't talk about it.
You get out the DMSO and the Asorbine Junior,
yeah,
and all the other horse liniment that you can use on yourself. Because you're supposed to be a professional and not get hurt.
Now, you were talking about using other horses, but you have a couple of trick horses, trained horses that you have used for many stunts and many things like that. Why would they not just hire you with your horse as a team that, you know, have worked together before?
Well, I want to tell you that probably 65 or 75% my horses are more well-known than I am. And my horses have been hired, and I have to say, I'm following them.
Yeah.
And this is really true. Hey, this Rod Wolf guy's got some terrific horses, okay? We'll get a tape, and we'll see how good the horses fall. But then there's other stunt guys that want to fall a horse, and I go, no, I have to get my daily, and I want to fall my own horse.
Well, that's good business from your standpoint. As a practical matter, would those guys be able to fall your horse as well as you would? Or is there, you've got kind of a special deal going with your horse.
Well, it's timing, and I know the horse. It's very difficult. Another guy with a great falling horse, for us to switch horses.
Just a great falling horse.
The horse might not fall. It's fantastic because we're not used to the horse.
Now they might say, well, yeah, Rob, that's great, but we needed an old man or something. We needed a different kind of a character on this horse. That's part and parcel of the stuntman's job, isn't it? Being a chameleon, being able to take on the look of any character.
Well, 2 years ago in Tucson, there was Mario Van Peebles did a movie called Los Locos, and a guy trying to escape from the bad guys dresses up as a girl, gets on my horse Sandy, a falling horse, and rides him out of town. Well, then the bad guys find out that the bride is tied up and her dress is gone, and that must have been the groom that stole the horse and was riding out. So they shoot the horse out from under him, and once again he has to lay under the horse. Well, the producer's daughter wants to do the stunt because she's a girl. But you're doubling.
It's a guy
in drag. And they didn't want me to do it. They wanted her to do it. I said, okay, well, I'll work with her. So I went down real early in the morning, and she fell both horses. I wanted to see which one she would feel good. So I fell both horses. She was right-handed, so she felt stronger pulling on the right rein and falling the horse to the left. So we used Sandy. So I worked with her And I think anybody could fall Sandy. So she did it two times. They printed both shots. And then we came and we put the guy actor dressed as a girl under the horse. And so I was basically a horse trainer.
Yeah.
And I couldn't double either one.
But in the past, you have done lots of different kinds. You mentioned Death Valley Days, who were made up to look like an American Indian. What other kinds of characters have you done? That's the first part of the question. The second part is, I know the other part of your life in show business is on the makeup side, as a makeup artist and a hairdresser. So talk a little bit about some of the looks that you have personally worn as an actor and a stuntman, and then also some of these other special effects you've created.
Well, I can answer a bunch of those all at one time. I worked Rambo 3, and I had my falling horses on that show. And I was
contacted by my serious because he's calling the movie
horses.
A show.
So I had to sell myself that, hey, these are my falling horses. I trained them. I should be able to fall them. Well, they were looking for black hair, olive-complected guys to be Afghanis. I said, well, I'll send you my picture. So I made myself up looking like Osama bin Laden on a horse. I put whiskers on, and I gave myself olive-complected skin. I put a rinse on my hair. And when I sent the picture, they go, hey, yeah, that's perfect. This guy's got falling horses. So I got the job, and I had 12 days on Rambo 3.
So if somebody went out and rented Rambo 3, would they see you in it right now?
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, but they would probably never recognize you because you look so different. That has to be one of the frustrating parts for somebody who is in the business where they would like to be recognized, is that if you're recognized, you probably don't work as much.
Well, that's right. Plus, when you're doubling, you don't want to be recognized.
Right.
Now, for instance, I'm a part Cherokee Indian. Okay, I'm 1/8. That qualifies me to work in the movies as an Indian because Indians are supposed to double Indians. So I barely qualify. But if you're looking
weird,
at me right now, I don't look much like an Indian. So I've made myself up to look like Indians ever since that first time in Death Valley Days.
Sure.
In fact, that made me interested in doing makeup because I had a wig on me. They darkened me up. The makeup flattened my nose a little bit. So I look pretty good as an Indian. Anyway, whenever there's Indian parts, I'm in the Screen Actors Guild directory as a Native American.
Yeah.
Which, as I said, I'm 1/8 Native American Indian.
Sure.
So all these things contribute to getting work.
Somehow, I don't think my guest, Rod Wolf, Hall of Fame stuntman, has much trouble in that regard. When we get back, we'll learn the secret of how Mr. Ed was made to talk. And it's not peanut butter. Stay with us.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is a copyrighted production of Lamb Chop Studios, Phoenix, Arizona. Unauthorized use is strictly prohibited.
Shit.
Fresh Broad Dude Ranch in eastern Tennessee could be America's best vacation ranch. There's fishing, rafting, square dancing, crafts, team fenning, a cattle drive, and great food. Most important, you'll learn how to ride a horse in balance on your very first lesson.
The very second you get in that right position, it will work for your benefit, and you'll look like you've been riding your whole life.
Save big right now on your family's dream vacation. Call 800-995-7000.
Spirit live on. Rest in peace. Splash.
Get down, get down, girl, come here. Now I ain't saying you a gold digger, you got knees. You don't wanna do the smoke, but he can't buy weed. You go out to eat, you can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up his sleeves. But while y'all washing the kitchen, he gon' make it to a beans out of that. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors. Next week is the prize. So stick by his side. I know his dudes ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get immediately your ass for a white girl. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the show if you're just now joining in and saying how the I Love the 90s tour will be in Cleveland, Ohio on June 30th. And what I was doing too while the music was playing, I was asking Ron Mills and everybody in here, did you read LeBron James' Instagram post that he put up last night? Look, I don't know how this dude did it, but he found the right words and the right hashtag and everything to address his critics and all the criticism that he received as he tried to bring this trophy and this title to his city. If you haven't had a chance to read it, go read it now, because this actually hit home to me, and I'll tell you why.
Horses, Foxtrotters, a lot of Tennessee Walkers, a lot of Autry's horses were Tennessee Walkers.
You would know this. Champion was a Tennessee Walker, correct?
Tennessee Walker.
The Trigger Jr. was a Tennessee Walker.
Well, he was a Tennessee Walker and a American Standard bred.
Oh, he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the original Trigger was what we would call, I think today, a warm blood, or he was like a cross between a thoroughbred and a draft horse.
Yes.
So he was a bigger boned horse, and even though they had similar markings, you can tell that the...
Trigger Jr. had four white socks, and Trigger basically had white boots, except for his right front hoof, and it wasn't white at all.
Yeah. This is a bit of a dying art. The whole thing that you do during your career, as you were learning this, you took every opportunity to study with the masters, Yakima Canutt, Jock Mahoney, you mentioned. A lot of people probably remember him as playing Tarzan.
He was the 12th Tarzan.
Yeah.
I was virtually broke when I went to Hollywood at 19 years old. And I was taken with all the horses that I'd seen in the movies. Basically, I loved being a cowboy because of the horse. The horse was everything. And so in meeting a lot of people, I said, well, who trained Flicker? Well, Les Hilton. He's also the one that trained Mr. Ed.
Now, when Mr. Ed talked, sort of moved his, did they put peanut butter in his mouth? I had heard that.
No, they did not.
Okay, how did they do it?
If you watch on Nickelodeon or any of those TV land shows, Mr. Ed always has a halter on.
Okay.
They would take fishing line and it would go through the D-ring on each side of the halter, and it'd be like flossing his teeth. And Les Hilton would be down below, because they'd only show it from the neck up, and he would run it between his teeth, and that would make Mr. Ed move his mouth side to side.
Wow.
He never did use peanut butter.
Okay.
Now, if he wanted him to, like, lick his lips for something, he'd give him just a piece of peppermint candy, that black and white candy.
You also met Yakima Canutt.
Oh, definitely.
You know I did.
Well, I'd seen him in movies since the 50s. He was in all those John Wayne movies.
He was John Wayne's stunt double for his entire career.
Well,
I believe.
No, in his early career. In fact, those two are the ones that originated the fight sequence that you see today. Used to be they used to just throw wild punches. But through the numbers, choreographed like a dance, he and Yak, after watching many of their fights, said, this doesn't look real. We're hitting each other on the back, sometimes clipping each other on the jaw. Let's do this like a dance. And they would do it by the numbers. You swing here, I block it, I punch in the stomach, you take a left to the chin. And they worked it out, and we use the same thing today.
And with proper camera angles, it looked much more authentic.
Right. Sometimes you can come in real close, and other times you can miss the guy by a mile.
And sometimes you actually hit him.
Sometimes you actually hit him. Roy told me he hit Yak three or four times in the same movie. And he said, Roy, you don't have to really hit me to make it look real.
Now, I've heard jokes about Roy Rogers that he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. Did you find that to be true? Definitely not. Not true.
No. A wonderful man. And what you saw on the screen and what he portrayed with his Roy Rogers Writers Club at the end of movies and stuff, that was the real him.
Yeah.
He was the same at home.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Same at home as he was up on the screen. And someone else that I knew, Clayton Moore. he told me, I said, what's the greatest thing that you think of having played the Lone Ranger? And he says, I form my whole life around being what the Lone Ranger was. I thought I should be morally and every way in my life. So playing the Lone Ranger made me a better person.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a great note to end on, Rod. It has been an absolute pleasure getting to know you. You go way back with my wife. You and my wife, Diana, have known each other for many years, have acted together or apart. I don't know. You've both been actors for a long time. But it's been my first opportunity to get to know you, and it has been an absolute pleasure. And I thank you for being on the Horse Show.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, folks, this is one of my all-time favorite interviews on the Horse Show. We did it a few years back, and I bring it back every year because it's not only one of my favorites, it's a crowd, it's an audience favorite as well.
Oh,
yeah. And Rod happens to live here in Phoenix where I live, and even more coincidentally, he owns a piece of property about a block from my house that's right on my traffic pattern, and every time I drive, it's just an empty lot now, and I can just see the value. You know, he needs to have like a thermometer in the yard with the value going up on it. An empty lot in Phoenix, inside the city limits, it's got to be skyrocketing in value. But anyway, every time I drive by there, I think of Rod, I think of this interview, and I think of his work in the stunt industry with horses. So it's always a pleasure to have him on the show. Remember our website, thehorseshow.com or ricklamb.com. Check it out every single week. Have fun, ride safely, and I'll see you next time. For The Horse Show, I'm Rick Lamb.
Attention homeowners, I've told you before, and if you missed it,
for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-330-1571. Strict limit of one per household.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. Think you might be bloated?
What do you mean
see
by
how
too
much flatter
dramatic?
Nubiotics makes your belly. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-330-1571. That's 1-800-330-1571.
Too dramatic.
MusicRewind.com presents Moon River.
It's flying out of me. I'm dying.
The 60s. A fantastic 3-CD collection of 75 of the most popular instrumental songs of the early 1960s. Enjoy songs like The White Rose of Athens by the David Carroll Orchestra. 40 Miles of Bad Road by Duane Eddy and the Rebels. Lonely Bull by the Tijuana Brass with Herb Alpert. And many more. Buy Moon River now for the low price of $19.98 at MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002. Enter or mention promo code RIVER22 for a special bonus of reduced shipping and handling. That's MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002 now. Remember, promo code RIVER22 for reduced shipping.
Radio Classics is brought to you by Radiospirits.com, digitally remastered classic radio. Have you been to Radiospirits.com today? Welcome back to SiriusXM Radio Classics.
The voice of God. If you're an announcer, it's pretty safe to say you won't hear better praise than that. And that's precisely what Norman Rose's colleagues dubbed him. I'm Greg Bell, and Rose's rich, recognizable baritone was featured not only in radio, but also heard in films, commercials, and so on. He was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the 23rd of June, 1917. Started acting while a student at the D.C.-based George Washington University, and later started acting in New York City, and landed some off-Broadway work. During World War II, Norman Rose worked first as a newscaster, then moved into radio announcing. And we'll mark his birthday with episodes of Dimension X and X-1. After that hour of science fiction, be sure to stick around for a couple funny ladies as Eve Arden stars in Armis Brooks, followed by The Judy Canova Show. This first episode is based on the works of one of sci-fi's most famous authors and originally played back on the evening of June 17th, 1951.
Adventures in time and space, transcribed in future tense. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, bring you Dimension X. The civilization of the galaxy spread across 200 million worlds. The black void of space swarmed with the ships of the Empire. But far off the trade routes, almost forgotten, lay the dying planet Earth. A backwater in galactic culture. A place of exile. A pebble in the sky. I landed on Earth, on the one spot which I would have called civilized. A patch along the desolate heights of the Himalayas that surrounded the palace of the Imperial Governor of Earth.
Dr. Bell Avedon of Sirius Sector. That's a familiar name.
Perhaps you've seen it in the Galactic Archaeological Journal, my Lord Ennis.
Me? No, no, I'm a soldier, not a scientist. It was a newspaper article. You gave an interview about your expedition to Earth. I suppose you want to start digging. Whatever can you find on this miserable heap of rubble?
I don't consider Earth a miserable heap, my lord. It's absolutely unique in the galaxy.
Unique?
It's the only inhabited planet that is radioactive.
It's a big pen.
Yes, I know. But this planet is inhabited. Biologists have proven that on a radioactive world, high forms of life cannot develop.
High forms? The rest of the galaxy hates the Earthmen, and they return it with interest.
I don't think you understand. I'm not intolerant of anyone. That even includes Earthmen. My theory is that life on Earth originated before it was radioactive.
Ah, there's a story like that in the Earth lore of the ancients.
I know, I've read it.
Oh? I wouldn't admit that here if I were you, Dr. Avedon. It's forbidden for outsiders to read it. The Earthmen get pretty violent about their religion.
Do you mean the Imperial police power here is defective?
It is, in case of sacrilege. Well, now, what do you actually want to prove?
That man originated in prehistoric times on Earth before space travel and spread to the other planets.
What? Are you seriously suggesting that at one time Earth was the only inhabited planet? And that man descended from Earthmen?
There's a chance it might be so.
You'll change your mind when you see them, Doctor. I'm not an anti-terrestrial, but as far as I can see, they're lazy and ignorant and generally inferior to us. I'm as liberal as the next man, but it's a fact. Once an Earthman, always an Earthman.
I booked passage to the city of Chica on an Earthline. My fellow passengers seemed ordinary enough. But I was conscious of being alone among Earthmen. I beg your pardon. Could you tell me what's going on there?
Sure. You see that couple? They've been married 40 years. It's their anniversary.
Yes, sir. 40 years. Hey, Mother? It seems like yesterday. Just like yesterday.
Hey, when are you folks scheduled for the 60?
In a month. 16th of November.
Well, I hope you have a nice day for it. My father reached his 60 in a pouring rain. Kept complaining we were getting soaked. So I told him, what are you complaining about, Dad? I've got to come back.
Now, this 60 they're talking about, are they referring to their 60th birthday?
Sure. That's when they put you away. Euthanasia. It's a custom. Can't have people living on and eats up all the food. That's right, isn't it, Pop?
Yes, sir. Mother's coming with me when I reach the 60. She's not due for a couple of months, but she thinks we might as well go together.
Yeah, that's the spirit. There's many a man living past the 60. Sneaks, stealing the food from the next generation. The guy should go when it's his time.
Yes, but suppose...
It's only fair to... Hey, where are you from?
I beg your pardon?
Asking all them questions.
Yes. Who are you? A spy? Where are you from?
I'm Bel Abaddon, from Baron, Sirius Sector.
Oh, an outsider, huh?
Come on, we'll go forward. Did you hear that, Mother? An outsider.
I'm burned with indignation. Earthmen treating me like an outcast. Earthmen. When we landed, I followed my intention of observing the human animal, subspecies Earth, in its native habitat. In this case, a large department store. Perhaps I resembled a floor walker, where a young Earth girl came up to me and asked a question.
Pardon me, but it is my father. He's about 5'4". He wears eyelashes. I think he is on a brown coat.
I'm afraid I don't remember seeing anyone.
But they followed me here. I've got to find him.
Are you in trouble, miss?
No, it's nothing, really. I'm sorry about it.
Attention, please.
What's that?
All patrons of the store will kindly leave by the 5th Street exit. This store is being evacuated for radiation fever quarantine.
What's all this about?
They're after me. It is really radiation fever at home.
Who's after you?
How am I going to get out of here? They've been checking registration cards at the door.
Haven't you got one?
Yes, but it has my name on it. I don't know what to do.
Come on.
But you don't even know me.
I don't know anybody here. But you're an interesting species. Person. This way.
Sure your room, Carl. Come on, step along.
Step
along. Check. Check. Wait a minute. Hold
check. Yes, sir.
Stand right there.
Look here, officer.
Are you with her?
Yes, but you'd better find out who I am.
Later. Stand over there. Neck. Come on. Hurry
up. What is it now?
He's here.
Are you afraid of them?
Oh, Carl.
Don't worry about the outsiders, Miss Shanks. I'll handle them.
Oh, no, don't try. Don't talk to them at all. Do what they say. Don't even look at them.
We'll see. Here they are.
All right, now. You, God.
Yes, sir?
I'm Lieutenant Cloudy, Imperial Garrison.
Who's got the fever?
If it please your honor.
I'm so close, idiot, you might be infected. I'll take over. You, Worthy. What's your name? Speak up, squaw.
Paula Schecter, sir.
Your registration papers?
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. All right, now. Pick them up. Go on.
Hey, look here now.
What did you say, Earthy?
If you please, sir. This man has nothing to do with me. I never saw him before.
What did you say?
I don't like the way you treat women. And I'd advise you to improve your manners.
And where have you been brought up, Earthy? Is lesson number one.
For you.
My arm. Let us go! Sergeant, the running whip!
Oh, no, no!
Yes, sir.
Oh, no!
Oh, you're all right now.
What happened?
They gave you full power and a neuronic whip.
Where are we?
The military base. Oh, you should.
Is that...
Oh. Well, Dr. Abaddon, we seem to have had an unpleasant contretemps in the city this afternoon.
Unpleasant? I should put it stronger, Colonel. As a free citizen of the Empire, I had every right to resent such illegal treatment.
I consider the whole incident unfortunate, Doctor. Don't you think it would be best to forget the whole matter?
I think not. I have an appointment in a week with a procurator.
Procurator, huh?
What do you intend doing with Miss Schecht?
What would you suggest, sir? I had...
Free her immediately. And offer her your apologies.
Of course. If the young lady will accept my sincere regrets, I will give the order for your release immediately.
Such dramatic music.
But I don't understand. They just turned us loose.
Of course.
You must be very important. I never heard of the outsiders being that polite to an Earthman before.
Well, I'm not an Earthman, Paula.
What?
I'm an archaeologist from the outside.
Oh. Well, then you stood up to the soldiers because you knew it was safe all along. And I thought... Oh, I should have known.
Hold on. Does my not being an Earthman make me any different from 5 minutes ago?
You might have told me, sir.
You don't mind. Don't call me, sir. Don't be like the rest of them.
Like the rest of whom, sir? The rest of the disgusting animals that live on Earth?
Please, Paula.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I must leave.
Oh, wait. Paula! Listen to me! Paula! I had access to the garrison files. To satisfy idle curiosity, I indexed Paula Schecht. Her father was a Dr. Mikhail Schecht, biologist. And against his name was a black star with a notation, condemned in absentia. Charge, evading the 60. That was why she was afraid. So I sent a note asking her to meet me in the North Park after dark.
Paula, over here.
Dr. Avedon?
Sit down.
Oh, I want you to understand. I wouldn't have come except...
I understand. I've seen your father's record.
You know about him.
I looked into it, Paula. There doesn't seem to be much that can be done about the 60.
Oh, it isn't that. It's not for my father. It's for the whole galaxy.
What is it?
Earth is going to revolt.
No. All of it?
Oh, don't laugh at me.
Paula. The galaxy has a volume of several million cubic light years. It contains 200 million inhabited planets. Earth has a population of only 20 million. And no resources. What can Earth do?
I don't know, Doctor, but my father does. He's told me that Earth knows a way by which it can wipe out all outside life and... Wait. Listen.
Hmm?
Someone coming. Park Patrol. Quick, kiss me.
Hmm?
Don't be stupid. Kiss me. They won't suspect anything.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, of course, yes. All right. Well, everybody have a good night. I gotta go do dentist stuff tomorrow afternoon, so wish me luck on getting a couple of these cavities filled, I guess. I don't know. Yes, everyone watch out for radiation fever. See ya.